Welcome to The Business Wilderness, a podcast focused on the world of entrepreneurs and the best practices they need to follow to navigate the complex world of business. We feature thought-provoking topics and industry experts on every show.
Welcome to The Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed, and today our special guest is Natalia Shoshova, the co-founder and CMO of Reno. Natalia, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Ahmed. I'm doing great, and thank you so much for having me.
Natalia, it's my absolute pleasure. Let's go back in time, Natalia. Who was Natalia as a young girl at school?
Sure. So I was born in a northern Russian town, which very few people know about, but it is most famous for its military factories producing and repairing nuclear submarines. So from a very young age, I felt like I only had two choices, either work in one of these factories or basically leave. And as you can probably guess, I chose the second option. So I graduated from American University in Bulgaria with a double major in business and economics. I did some sales, marketing, and PR, as well as photo and video production. But in most jobs, I was missing the economics part of my background. And I finally managed to combine my creative and more analytical sides at Reno. Victor, Reno's CEO, actually hired me to work on his other business. But when he started Reno, I guess he thought that I could bring a certain value to his new project. So I joined as one of the co-founders and CMO.
Wow. Interesting journey. Take us through what Reno does.
Reno is all about making commercial real estate liquid and accessible. And we do this through two major products, a marketplace for fractional investing and instant loans collateralized by real estate equity. The marketplace allows investors worldwide to buy fractions of professionally managed commercial buildings. Of course, investors get regular dividends from the rental income, and we have a huge variety of properties. We've got multifamily, warehouses, medical facilities, mobile home parks, short-term rental in Vegas, you name it. And currently, you can start investing in real estate with just as little as $5,000, and we're looking into ways to make the entry ticket even smaller. When it comes to lending, we accept fractions of a client's equity in a building and provide an instant offer. It is far superior to traditional loans in many ways. For example, while banks can take several months to review documents, we give an offer instantly with no paperwork. Also, Reno offers flexible collateral size while banks lock the entire equity. And last but certainly not least, in case of default, Reno only liquidates a part of a client's equity while banks liquidate the whole property. So investors are at risk of losing everything. And to provide these services, we use blockchain technology and digital security tokens. And legal compliance is very, very important to us. So we follow the Securities and Exchange Commission's guidelines very closely.
Wow. So you guys are really making investing a lot more accessible to everyone.
Absolutely. At least that's our hope and our goal.
Awesome. Since you've entered this world, this world's an ever-evolving one. And there's a few companies that are trying to do similar things to you guys. What are the biggest trends and patterns that you've seen during your journey?
Right. So we're kind of at an interesting intersection of, fintech, real estate, and blockchain. And I think all of these industries have definitely some interesting trends. For instance, something that I notice in blockchain and fintech is the rise sort of decentralized finance. And I think decentralized finance has a great concept behind it. So it's supposed to provide financial products without a central authority like a bank or a startup or a company Literally everything is automated, done by the smart contracts and by some code, basically. However, I noticed that in practice, it's a little bit hard to implement, or some compromises have to be made, because as you can imagine, you know, when there is nobody who controls or can make any important decisions, it's kind of, you know, it becomes slower and a little bit less certain, but still is definitely very interesting. And some companies are implementing it in a great way.
So are you guys seeing a lot of pushback from financial regulators?
So not really, because I mean, for us, from the day one, we really wanted to be compliant and kind of follow, you know, the latest guidelines, the latest changes. And the SEC is kind of, you know, changing directions from time to time. Like, 1 second they seem very positive and kind of open, and, you know, next day they'll put a proposal forward that kind of, you know, restricts the innovation a little bit, which of course is understandable, you know, because they're trying to protect the investors. But I think, you know, our company in particular didn't really face any setbacks as, you know, some other projects did, I think, unfortunately.
Okay, awesome. A question. Can you explain how the whole blockchain technology is a part of your platform and what sort of role it plays? Just so people sort of understand. Because when you first visit your website, there's just tokenize this and tokenize that. So to, you know, people that don't really understand that world, well, what kind of role does it play?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, I mean, in basic terms, a blockchain is just a database, right, where you write down the transactions and where you can track ownership. So for us, since we work with real estate, instead of having like a title or a deed where it would say that, you know, Ahmad owns an office building in Chicago, you'll have some, your ownership will be recorded on a blockchain through tokens. And these tokens are basically digital shares. So they're similar to your regular shares, like how you would own Apple stock or, you know, Amazon, everything like that. But you basically own shares of a commercial property. So you're also entitled to get all the profits from the rent, or, you know, if there are many investors, they get it proportionally to their equity. And what blockchain does here, basically, it just improves efficiency. Because, you know, as you understand, we're cutting out the paperwork, cutting out the middlemen, and the third parties actually make traditional real estate transactions very expensive. So when we're able to just transfer the ownership digitally and confirm it digitally, it really saves our clients a lot of money. It saves them a lot of time and genuinely makes everything easier.
Awesome. Awesome. Talk to us about some of the biggest barriers that you guys faced starting the company and getting to where you are today.
Okay, how much time do you have? Because there are lots of challenges. And
as long as you want, go for it.
Sure, okay. I mean, I think there are still plenty of challenges. You know, it's not like we've overcome everything. But one of our biggest challenges is also an opportunity, because what we're doing is still new. I mean, most people understand in general terms investing and loans, but when you add blockchain and security tokens or fractional ownership, people start getting very confused. So we have to be smart about how we talk to people and sort of limit how much information we throw at them at once. Like, me talking to a real estate professional will be very different from talking to a crypto enthusiast. And I work with both. Both of them have things that are easy for them to understand and things that are very hard. they also have different questions. So if a real estate guy asks me about lease types and amortization, the crypto guy will ask me how secure our smart contracts are. And so for that reason, the whole team needs to be very well versed in so many different topics. So it gets hard for us to find new talent because not everyone can handle the versatility and complexity of the job. However, there's also an opportunity there since very few people know about products like ours. We have the chance to educate them and in their eyes will be the first mover and the market leader. And that's something you can't buy. So I'll take that challenge any day.
Awesome. Take me through, I mean, during this challenge, during this journey, I'm sure you faced many challenges and difficult times. Was there a piece of advice that you received from someone or a significant moment during this journey that really changed the way you look at things?
Mm-hmm. So right now on the spot, I can't really remember a specific moment or advice, but I genuinely like to draw inspiration from people around me or people in the industry. For example, my co-founders really motivate me to push harder and move forward. And it's not with something they say, but by being a great example. They're really genuine, generous, patient, and hardworking, and they balance running a business with having a family. So I feel like everything is possible when I talk to them, even when there are some bumps on the road. And the same goes for, you know, other industry players. When I see a company, it might even be a competitor, but a competitor that I really admire and think they're doing something great or they achieved a milestone, you know, it inspires me. It shows me that, you know, they're also working hard and they did it. So we also can. And I think that's what's helping me.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you. Moving on, and I mean, we'll probably wrap up very soon. What's a piece of advice or pieces of advice that you would give to startup founders, those looking to build companies, those that are building companies, those who are going through similar journeys as you?
Mm-hmm. I would say don't give up, but also know when to change your strategy. Of course, success doesn't happen overnight. And I think I'll use a story here that's not mine, but I think is a good illustration. The other day, I read an article about a copywriter who made $10,000 in a month. But it's not like she just woke up one day and the money was patiently waiting for her to grab it, right? She started her business years ago and only made $3 in the first month, which, you wow. know, when you go through from $3 to 10,000, that sounds really impressive. But I believe that the hardest part is to get through this first few months when you're not making money, you don't have enough clients, you don't have funding, your friends and family question your choices, of course, as they do. But if you get through this time, it's definitely going to pay off in the long run. But at the same time, I think you can't be too stubborn because let's say you keep working on your startup, but it doesn't work out the way you want to. So try to change it up. If you're having a problem reaching your clients by email and you keep sending them the same email, nothing is going to change. So try some new tactics and don't be afraid to experiment. Especially in the early days, you really have nothing to lose. So I'd say use this time wisely.
Wow, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, some very sound and wise advice from Miss Natalia Shershova. Natalia, I want to thank you very much for joining me on the show and sharing your amazing journey. Before we let you go, where can people get in touch with you online?
Sure, so they can find me on LinkedIn. It's Natalia Shershova. Or they can also go to our website, reino.io. It's reinno.io. And there we have a contact form and links to all of our social media if they'd like to follow us on our journey.
Natalia Shershova, thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Business Wilderness. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at businesswilderness.com.